If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I certainly encourage you to do that tonight. I'd like to read to you from the 107th vision of the Psalms tonight. Begin reading right at verse 1. It seems like my mind is on so many different portions of Scripture, but at this moment, this one seems the most prominent, and so we'll endeavor to look at it together tonight, and maybe as the Lord leads, look at some other places in the Bible that have been on my mind, and or wherever the Lord directs, I want to follow. Where we sing that hymn, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." I hope that's the way we approach our preaching, and I hope it's the way we approach our worship, that we are open tonight to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that we're not so already laid out things in our thoughts and minds that we would hesitate to go any way the Lord would lead us. So I pray He will lead us, and that we will, where He leads me, that we will follow. So you pray for me to that end. I'd like to look at Psalm 107 for just a little while. We'll read down through about the 8th verse, the Lord willing. He says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And we know that so many of the Psalms have application to the children of Israel in the day and age in which they lived. As we know, the history of the Old Testament tells us about the nation of Israel and how the Lord carried them through so many situations and so many places, through the out of Egyptian bondage, through the wilderness, to the land of Canaan, into captivity in Babylon, and down through the ages, how the Lord's hand was upon the nation of Israel as a national people. We also know that just as sure as that was the case, those things that were written there were written for our learning. So we have an application in this text tonight, not only to what happened to them in the Old Testament, but how that applies to us. And tonight, if I have a focus on these passages, I want it to be on how these things apply to us today in the day and age in which we're living. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We know right off that it does have an application for us. Whether I get to it or not, it won't change the reality that this Bible is recorded for our benefit right now, today. And it'll be true as long as this world stands and the Lord's people are in this world. The things that are written in here will be relevant to them and beneficial to them. And yet it takes the Lord to open our eyes to that, doesn't it? It takes God to allow us to be able to see that. Well, this first verse is pretty obvious. It's what the church is called to do. It's what individual members are called to do. It's what every little child of grace is called to do. And that's a commandment. And that commandment will keep you happy if you do it. That commandment will make your life a lot richer if you do it. That commandment will cause you not to be so much a murmurer and a complainer. It'll keep you from talking about your brethren. It'll keep you on track in a lot of ways where we fall in error. It'll keep your family together. It'll help you on your job. It'll help you in your life. Is if we make an effort, a conscious effort, to keep this commandment that's given to us here in Psalm 107, verse 1, he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." In order to give thanks unto the Lord, you've got to remember, number one, that we have a Lord, and that the Lord is at hand. And we do tonight have a great and wonderful Lord. Brother Mike sent me that text or that little statement this morning in all caps on his text, and I liked it. He said, "He is risen." And what a truth that is, that He is risen. Yesterday, one of the brethren reading from the Old Testament read, I believe it was Brother Carroll, that read this verse from the Old Testament, and I sent that back to him because it came to my mind. And you know, I think that was pretty early this morning, if I recall, that It says, I am Alpha, verse 8 of Revelation chapter 1. This is talking about our Lord. Who is our Lord? And we're going to give thanks to someone. It's someone who deserves thanks, right? Someone who's worthy of thanks. Someone who's worthy of praise. If we're here tonight to thank someone, we ought to be... Some people are worshiping gods and they're not worthy of praise. And they're thanking gods that haven't done anything for them. And they're giving praise and honor and glory to individuals and to things that really don't deserve it. But tonight, the activity of giving God praise is an activity that He is deserving of. As a matter of fact, it's the activity that's going to happen in heaven. And one of the things that we need to understand is what kind of God we have. God's little children need to know what kind of Lord you have. And Psalm 1, Revelation says this. The one that was speaking to John there on the Isle of Patmos said, I am Alpha and Omega. That is the first and the last letter in the Greek alphabet. That means He is the beginning and He is the end. He is the first and He is the last. That doesn't mean He's just the first and just the last. He's not only the first, He's not only the last. He is everything in between. He covers it all. I say in the person, the Bible teaches in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everything that we will ever need in our lives for living, our temporal or timely salvation in this world, and our eternal salvation is all taken care of and secure in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary for us some 2,000 years ago. The Lord's people have someone to thank, and that person is the Lord Himself, who is the Alpha and the Omega. And He goes on, He says, the beginning and the ending. In case we didn't understand the Alpha and the Omega, He gives us an explanation of that, gives John that explanation, and the angel, and the angel to John and to us, it's given the beginning and the ending. Now, who says this? He says, saith the Lord. That's what it says in verse 8. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, listen, if Jesus was just a man, He couldn't say which was. He could say which is, but He couldn't say which was. And He couldn't say, really, which is to come. Because if He's just a man, and it would be left up to me or you, and just as men, we are right now. But it won't be long, we're not. We wouldn't be. We'd be gone. And we weren't in the beginning. There was none of us in the beginning. Only in the mind and purpose of God were we there in the beginning. The way we were there in the beginning is that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That wasn't a choice we made of the Lord, but it was a choice the Lord made of us. And He made choice of His people before the foundation of the world. And how did He do that? If we weren't in existence, God in His foreknowledge saw His people, saw their needs, saw them in their destitute, sinful, depraved condition. But not because of any good in them, because there was none. He saw them and chose to redeem them, bring them out of that state they were in. And He chose them as His own. And He gave them to His darling Son, the Almighty. And listen, His Son is the Almighty. Aren't you glad tonight that our Savior is the Almighty? That word really applies to the God the Father. And it also applies to God the Son. And it also applies to God the Holy Spirit, because we're not serving tonight three gods. We're serving one God who's manifest in three persons, and we see that in the fullness of salvation. We see Jesus coming for those whom the Father gave Him. Jesus came into this world to save them. And those that He saved and washed in His own blood, those that He purchased at Calvary, in time, the Spirit works in their heart. And we see the work of God the Holy Spirit in their heart, quickening them and making them alive. And the life that's worked in you tonight, if you have spiritual life. Somebody said, well, how would I know if I have spiritual life? Well, I ask you, do you love the Lord? Well, if you love the Lord, it's because He first loved you. Do you believe in the Lord? Do you believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? Well, that means you have faith. And without faith, you can't please Him. But if you've been given faith, the Scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourselves, neither is the grace. It is the gift of God. And the reason that's the case is that none of us would have a right to boast. Because you know what we'd do about it if we had something to do with it? We'd be wanting credit, wouldn't we? What has been the nature of man from the very beginning? He's wanting his own preeminence, his own place of praise. Tonight, I have nothing to glory in, and the gospel gives me nothing to glory in, except, and this is the wonderful thing we have to glory in, that if there be any glory, it is to be given to the Lord. That's why we sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let even the angels, if the angels that are in heaven are going to fall, I surely believe all to, don't you? The men of this world surely ought to. And I'll tell you, today let us pray. We will be humbled and praising God in submission and in worship and honoring Him because one day every knee, all those that will even be contrary to Him, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And let's pray that we'll be among those who do it in a worshipful way, rather than those who have to do it in submission before they're cast into eternal destruction in that place prepared for the devil and his angels. But I'm telling you, the devils even have to confess him because he's more powerful than they are. They don't worship him in the way God's children do, but they will worship him in the way they will acknowledge he has more power than we do. The old devil don't want to do that. It doesn't matter what he does, wants to do. He's good. He has already been defeated at Calvary. He's just running around like a toothless lion, roaring right now. And he'll try to bring in and bring under subjection any of us as God's little children that he can to rob us of our timely joy and our rest that should be in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the blessings of the gospel is that you're set free and you're given a power and an ability in understanding the truth not to be brought under his influence. Resist the devil, the scripture says, and he will flee from you. And how do we resist the devil? Well, you draw nigh unto God. You know what the Bible says? If you draw nigh unto God, he will. Isn't that amazing? The Almighty. You draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Now, see, some people would say, well, see, then you've got to do it in order for him to do it. And yet the Bible teaches us that unless we are changed from the natural to the spiritual, the natural man won't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Because he can't even know them. They're spiritually discerned. And unless we're drawn to the Father, we won't come to the Son. And unless we go to the Father through the Son, we can't go to the Father. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't move in our heart, we're dead in trespasses and sins, and we're not born of the Spirit. If we're not born of the Spirit, we can't even know the things of God. And so what's needed? We need a Savior that is the Alpha. That's what I need. He's got to be the beginner. Whole lot more on this than I thought when I started. He's got to be the beginner. He has to be the one who's the Alpha. And he also has to be the Omega. He's the Alpha and the Omega of my salvation. Isn't that wonderful? If it was something I had to start it, I would be the Alpha and he might be the Omega. If it was something he started but I had to end, if it was something he tried to do and couldn't get it done and gave some part of it to me, then I'd be one of the letters in the alphabet, in the Greek alphabet. But see, he didn't say he's the Alpha and the Omega and you're something in between. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And if I get up in the stand as a preacher and start telling you what you need to do to add to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've made you a letter. And that's not the truth, is it? Because Jesus is our Alpha and Omega. Don't let somebody rob you of the peace you can have in resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ and that alone. Don't allow some man to tell you, yeah, but he's done that, but you've got to do this and you've got to do that. Yes, brethren, there is much for you and me to do, but it is never to add to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to do what God made us do. And what is that? Give thanks unto the Lord. Preach about him being the Alpha and the Omega. And if you're not preaching, somebody says you're to preach that in your life and occasionally use words when you're preaching. The main thing you're supposed to do is preach it with your lifestyle, with your feet and your talk and your actions. You remember those that were on the right hand in the final judgment, that prophecy, it's going to come when the Lord comes and he's going to have his sheep on his right hand. He's going to place the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And remember the identifying marks of the sheep that were on his right hand. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I needed water to drink, you gave me water to drink. And remember the response of those little sweet children of God that were there as the sheep of God who'd been worked on by the hand of God. Remember their response. They said, "Oh Lord, when did we do that? When did I do that? When were you hungry, Lord, and I fed you? When were you naked, Lord, and I clothed you? When did you need any water and I gave you any water? When did we do this?" Listen. He said, "Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me." Those old goats on the left side, those ones that were there that had not been touched by the hand of God, listen to their Phariseeism, listen to their high-mindedness, listen to what we see in us sometimes in our nature. I'm thankful it's not altogether us, but listen, you've got a nature. Even though you have the Spirit of God in you, which makes you a little lamb of God, you got that old goat part of you, that old nature. It isn't really a goat, but it's the old natural man that's in you that's just like the nature that's in man in this world without the Lord. They said, "When didn't we do these things?" They felt like if somebody deserved heaven, I deserve it because I've been a pretty good boy. You know, that's what the world will kind of tell you. We'll look around at everybody else in the world and say, "Well, I think I'm living pretty good. I'm not too bad. I got a few errors, but so does everybody else. I'm as good as most people. Matter of fact, I think I'm not, look, I can count a whole lot of people a lot worse than me. If anybody's going to hell, I can point out a bunch of people that deserve it more than I do." And what happens is when you think like that, that's the nature of man. When God gets finished with you, you'll say, "If he casts anyone into that lake of fire, it'll be me, because my sins come before me, not only what I've committed, but what I've thought in my mind." And even in the most wonderful blessings he's given me in a lot of my life, there are times my old evil mind goes places and does things that plagues my heart. Sin bothers me. Does sin bother you? I hope it does. Hope it troubles you in the sense it bothers you. Now I want the Bible to set you free, but I want you also to understand if you don't feel the weight of sin, freedom doesn't mean much if you don't understand the bondage you're in without the Lord. How can you thank the Lord if you don't really understand what he's really done for you? Listen, we were in the dunghills of this world. We weren't pretty clean and he just helped us along a little bit. We were cast out like a little babe in an open field, an aborted babe, and we read in the Old Testament without anyone to bathe us or clean us up, and we were dead and out there as that scripture teaches us, without any possibility of recovering ourselves out of the state we were in. And the Lord came where we were when we were in a waste howling wilderness. And he came and put us, he made us new creatures. He put our feet upon a rock. And that rock was Christ. He put a new song in our mouth. He took our mouth that's so full of bitterness and cursing and filled it with the praise of God. He took our hard and stony heart away and gave us a heart of flesh that could be touched and tendered by God. And he allowed us to see, without the Lord I'm going to hell. But because I have him, I've been saved. I have been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The hymn writer said, "Redeemed, and I love to proclaim it." Redeemed how? By my good works? God forbid. All of my righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. And if I stood before God and said, "This is what I've done, Lord, let me in. This is what I've done, Lord, don't cast me away." I'm like the ones on the left hand who said, "I didn't do that, Lord. I didn't do that. I didn't do that." And yet they were guilty. And see, that's where, if it had not been for the grace of God, can you see with me and understand tonight, there would have been no sheep on his right hand. But God made choice. And he didn't just choose a few. Out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people, a number that no man can number, the Lord's people, not everybody, not everyone, but he's got his people. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Somebody said, "Well, how many?" I don't know. The Bible says they're innumerable. I can't count them. As the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. I said, "Well, can you tell me who they are?" Well, I can see sometimes evidences that kind of give me a glimpse that that's probably a little child of grace. Sure makes me happy when I see one. I see someone concerned about their sin debt. I tell you what, I love to talk to someone that's concerned about sin, about the Savior who saved them from their sin. I love to see one who's repentant, who wants to be better, wants to live better, wants to do different, who desires to walk better. Do you want to walk better? You may not be walking better, but do you have the want to? Are you like the Apostle Paul that after the inward man, I don't want to be that old hard-headed, arrogant, pompous thing that sometimes I appear to be. And when I'm that way, does the Lord let you get by with that? That's another good evidence. Can you just go act like you want to with no consequences in this world? Or you don't feel like the Lord? Or does the Lord whip you? Does the Lord talk to you at night when you're laying there trying to sleep sometimes? Does the Lord, when you've said something that you know you shouldn't have said, do you have to have the preacher call you up and talk to you about it? Or do you, and he might do it on Sunday, even after the Lord's talked to you all week. He might give that preacher another dose of it. So he will give it to you. That's part of the reproving and rebuke. He may use a preacher, as he did with Nathan, to rebuke a David who needed rebuke. And David didn't even know the lesson, but he sure was taught it when God got through with him. But does the Lord chasten you with His Word? Does the Lord chasten you? That's a great evidence He loves you, because He chastens everyone He loves. And if He's ever, here's the good news about the Almighty. If He's ever loved you, He will always love you. He doesn't stop loving you. He doesn't lose one He loves. He had the power to save everyone. He loved His children with an everlasting love. Nothing can separate them from that love. And He has the power to save everyone He loved. He's not going to love somebody and not have the power to save them. If He loves you, you're His. You belong to Him. And I can say it's different, and you might think different, but it won't change the reality that you are in His hands. You are in the Father's hands, and you are in the hands of the Son of God, and there's nothing that can pluck you out of His hand. No power. And I'm telling you, that is who we serve. And you think we don't have someone to give thanks to? I say we can't give Him enough thanks. I want to thank Him tonight. I want to thank Him for touching an old boy like me, I hope and pray. Kind of like an old boy. I feel like an old man tonight. Kind of like tonight. But I thank Him. Thank Him that He's seen fit to bless my life. Bless my family's life. Move in the lives of my children. Move in the lives of my brethren and sisters in the church. Move in our lives and give us a relationship. I've got relationships in this world that go far deeper than natural ties. Don't you? I've got friends one day that I believe I'll live in heaven with forever. Not because I'm something or they're something, but because He's the Alpha, isn't He? And the Omega. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. And this one that we look to is the Almighty. He's not a weak Jesus. I hear some people talking about a Jesus that can't do what He wants to do. I don't know that Jesus. The Jesus I know, He speaks and it's done. He's the one who calls the sea to be calm. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who's come in my life on times when my heart was troubled and gave me peace in the midst of the storm. Have you felt that? Have you felt that? If you have, I'm telling you, you know Him. And you know Him because He knew you. And if He has you now, He'll never let you loose of you. And we remember the day now. Today we have remembered His resurrection. Listen, He went to the cross for you, and He shed His blood there for you, and He died for you, and He came forth from the grave for you, so that when you die, you don't have to be scared to death. Because though His old body gets laid down, it ain't going to stay there, because He came forth just as sure as He came forth. If I belong to Him, one day He's going to come back with my soul and my spirit, which will immediately go to be with the Lord, which sounds real good to me too. And then when He comes back again, this old sleeping body is just going to sleep for a while. Sleep ain't bad. Sleep is all right. You know, Stephen being stoned just fell asleep. That's a good thing to fall asleep when you're in trouble in this world. One of God's little children leaves this world, even if it's a little baby. It's horrible and hard that is for parents and others. It, to go home to be with the Lord is to be in the presence of Jesus. They're being cuddled just as Jesus went out to get that little sheep in the desert that was lost and on that mountain. He took that little sheep when He got there. He went there and He searched for it till He found it. And when He found it, He put it up on His shoulders. And He brought that little sheep back. You know how many sheep he's going to have? He's going to have every sheep that the Father gave him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me, and this is the Father's will, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing. That isn't any part of them. That's the Almighty. That's the Alpha and the Omega. That's the one who was talking to John. And in Psalm 107 he said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." I need his mercy, don't you? I needed his mercy yesterday as I mess up, and I need his mercy, and I've needed it all day today. I get coming to a meeting after the Lord's been so good to me, and I get scared to death. My hands get all sweaty, my palms sweat, and people shake my hand and wonder what's wrong with me. And I've been doing that for a long time, and I still do it. And a lot of it is, I know a lot of it's probably the way it ought to be, but a lot of it's just simply doubting the power of the Lord, because I got that old nature. And if he wasn't merciful to me, he would have thrown me to the side. He said, "I'm tired of fooling with that old preacher. He's doubting again, just like he did the last time. I've had it with him." You ever had your mercy kind of run out for somebody, and you just go like, that's the last time that person's going to get me. He got me before. I'm not going to be merciful this time. He's going to get it. When I see him, he's going to get it. Listen, we as God's little children, remember, we're to be merciful as our God was merciful. It'll change how you act and live and talk. And remember this, his mercy has not failed for you, has it? That's why forgiveness is such a beautiful and a wonderful thing. Number one, it's there with the Lord. If you're not at peace with the Lord tonight, everybody else might be your friend. You're in trouble. The number one place we need to find peace is with the Lord. That's why I told that little brother, I said, "You talk to the Lord," because it's wonderful to talk to the preacher, but it's more important to talk to the Lord, isn't it? Because the Lord is the one. The preacher, there are preachers in this world, or men in this world, who think they have the power to forgive sins. But the Bible tells us there's only one who has the power to forgive sins, and that was God. And when they accused Jesus of forgiving sins, they thought he was a man forgiving sins. They would have been right if he had been just a man, but he's not just a man, is he? He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the first and the last, the one who is and was and ever will be. He is the Almighty. Listen, he was one with his Father. And the reason he had power to forgive sins is because he was God. And he proved that he had the power to forgive sins. Remember when the one was taken, they brought him and they couldn't get him into the building because of the crowd of people, and their friends were carrying him in, and he was lame and laying on the bed, and he was in a horrible way, and he couldn't walk, and they couldn't get him there. Now, you're talking about some good friends that climbed up on the roof and tore a hole through the roof. Can you imagine that? And let him down, let his bed down so they could be... See, and it wasn't his faith that brought him there. It was the faith of his friends that brought him there. By the way, they wouldn't have had faith to do that if they hadn't believed, if they hadn't been given that by God. But I'm telling you one thing, when they said, "Well, who is this that forgiveth sins?" He said, "Well, which is easier, to say thy sins are forgiven thee, or rise up, take thy bed and walk?" And I'm telling you what the man did. He not only got up, he carried his bed out of there. You ever see somebody that's got something restored? I know one thing, my legs, when the old knee gets repaired, I still have the effects, didn't you? When your knee gets fixed, you still got the effects of when it wasn't fixed. Because the muscles atrophy, don't they? You don't use that knee for a while, you don't use that leg for a while, you go to use it. I mean, it takes a while to build that muscle back up so you can walk. You almost have to learn not to limp. You got to learn to build that up. You got to strengthen that. You know, that man didn't have any trouble with any of that, because I'm telling you, he had a better doctor than the doctors of this world. He had the Almighty as his physician. Who you want tonight is your physician. And then when he fixed him, he was fixed right. Isn't it wonderful to know that when we go home in the resurrection, we won't have a Savior who forgets some part of us, and we get up there with a glorified body with some part that didn't work right or something? You won't have to worry about your legs and your arms and your and all of those things that trouble you down here, because when we get the body He has prepared for us, it'll be our body, but it'll be a glorified body. It'll be a, it's not a, it's a changed body, not an exchanged body. It's that body that we are in now that's going to be changed and made fashioned like unto His glorious body. He's not going to miss a part of it. I won't need these fogging up eyeglasses anymore. Now, you think you got something to thank God for? If I had that alone, that would be good, but that ain't all. Listen, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and have spiritual eyes to really behold Him. I believe we'll know what to thank Him for. I believe we really know what He's done for you. Sometimes I can think a little bit about what He's done for me, but I don't have a clue of all the times He's been. Think about where you've been and how He's watched over you when you didn't have a clue. You pulling away and me pulling away all the time, and His mercy. Listen, His mercy endureth forever. You going on your own way, running hard, going hard like the old prodigal son, just saying, I'm going to go have a good time in this world. I'm tired of the Father's house. I've had enough of that place. See, I'm going to go out here and take my fill of this world. And it didn't take Him long to get His fill, did it? And the next thing you know, He's laying there just so hungry, so thirsty, so tore up. He was so hungry, I'll eat anything. If somebody will just give me something to eat. And he got to that place. You ever been there? Oh, if you have, it's not a good place to stay, but it's a good place to get to. Because at that time you're made to see there isn't anything in this old world like the Father's house. There isn't anything like fellowship with the Father. There isn't anything I need like I need to be at home with the ring on my finger and the shoes on my feet and to be clothed in His righteousness, because He's the Alpha and He's the Omega. And without Him, I can't make it. I can't make it without Him. You see that tonight? This little church won't make it without Him. But if we have Him, it'll stand as long as He would have it stand. And I believe He'll have it till He comes again. If we keep looking to Him, He's promised not to leave us nor forsake us. Do we believe that? I do. I believe He can add to our borders. I can add a lot of mess. I can bring in a lot of trouble. He is the Alpha and the Omega. I'm not. He's able. He's the Almighty. He's able to feed us. He's able to take care of us. And if you're discouraged tonight, be encouraged. If you're brokenhearted, remember He is the one who heals the brokenhearted. If you're hungry, remember He's the one who feeds the hungry and the poor. If you feel rich, He's the one who can knock that out of you as well and bring you to where you're poor so that you might truly look up to see Him. He is all of it, isn't He? He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Isn't that good? I'm so glad. It would be a scary thing if our God, who's all-powerful, wasn't a good God. Brother Carol Newman, ain't God good? Over and over. If I don't hear anything else out of Him, that'll mean a lot to me. He'll say something, He'll get lifted up in the Spirit, and he'll go, ain't God good? Ain't God good? Somebody said, well, that's not good English. It is to me. It makes lots of sense to me. I'd rather have that kind of speech about the Lord than all the high-minded theology in this world. If I can just tonight tell you a little bit about how good God is. We got a good God. So good that He took unworthy sinners like you and me and paid a sin debt for us. Brought us together and have fellowship with one another. Watches over us, feeds us daily. Gives us the bread on our tables that sometimes we don't even forget. Don't even remember to thank Him for. And He feeds us daily. He's the one who brings the sun up in the. If He didn't bring the sun up, it wouldn't come up. If He didn't bring it across the sky, it wouldn't be there. It's not only His power that made it, it's His power that keeps it. One day this old universe, I believe one day this universe, when He's done with it, He's going to fold it up like a blanket, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the sun will be darkened, and there'll be no need for this, because we have a place prepared of us by Almighty God that's going to be far better than anything. This is my Father's world. That's a hymn that some people sing. It is a wonderful place when you look at this Father's world that He's made. Boy, you look at the creation, it just speaks to the work and the power of Almighty God. And yet when you're looking at that, you're looking at it through sin-cursed eyes, polluted, and you're looking at a world that's full of sin. Even the world has been cursed because of the sin that has entered into the picture. That's why when you go to, as we mentioned before, when you go to pick that rose, you might get a prick from the thorn that's on the rose bush. See, before sin entered into the picture, wouldn't have been no thorn there. That's part of the curse. One day we're going to live in a place where we won't have any of that. Somebody said, well, we're going to have roses. You know, we sing about where the roses never fade. That's an idealist kind of way to talk about heaven when you talk about some place you really don't know all about. I just know what the scripture tells us about it. It's better than I can talk about it. And heaven's a real place. It's a place prepared by God for His children. The older you get, the sweeter that sounds. And the closer you get there, the more you long for it. The less this old world holds for you. The attractions of this world that used to just charm you don't charm you so much anymore, you know. That land of magic doesn't hold a lot of magic for me anymore. I don't mean I wouldn't want to go, and I do go sometimes, but I'm telling you, there's no place like this. The place the Lord's provided for us here in this world, and that what is coming is going to be so far better than even His church. His church is a beautiful place. Where we were yesterday at Bethel Church was a beautiful place. Where we are tonight, my goodness, is a beautiful place. Where what the Lord has provided for us here in this world, in the fellowship of the saints, is a beautiful place. But it doesn't hold a glimpse to what heaven's going to be. I got a whole lot of problems when I meet here in this old world. The seats, the time runs out. And one thing as a preacher, you got a whole lot more. I got a whole lot more to say. The time runs out. And one day we'll be talking about this forever. And you won't get tired of listening. You won't have some place to go. You won't have to. Your boys, y'all won't have to worry about school tomorrow. Won't have to worry about it. I won't have to worry about it either. Because we're going to be with, we by His grace will be with the Lord forever and ever. And we ought not live in this world like we're going to be here forever, because we're not. We've got a better place awaiting for us. And while we're here in this world, we ought to live like we are looking. This world is not my home. I'm just traveling through. I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim here below. All right. He says, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. I read a lot of verses. We didn't talk a lot about them, but I hope we said some things that have stirred your heart up, your minds, but in a pure way of remembrance to honor and glorify the Lord. If you're praising God, you'll stay happy and you won't complain so much. And I say you, I'm talking to me. We won't complain so much. And He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm trying tonight. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Y'all are helping me too. I see it. Y'all are seeing this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those whom He's redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We had an enemy. Our enemy. We had the enemy of death that He redeemed us from. We had Satan that He redeemed us from. We had the hell and the grave that He redeemed us from. And we have an almighty Lord who was victorious. And He didn't try to redeem us. We didn't redeem ourselves. He redeemed us. And He did it with His own blood. And His blood is the only thing that could have redeemed us. What can wash away my sins? The answer is nothing but the blood of Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you you got to do something else. Because if you do, they've left nothing but the blood. And He's no longer the Alpha and the Omega. He's some other. We get to be a letter. I don't want to be a letter. I want Him to be the first and the last. Because I tell you what, everything I've ever done, I messed up somehow. Everything He's ever done has always been perfect. So where do you want your salvation to be? It's in Him whether you want it or not. But isn't it a lot better to want it to be in Him? When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. Love you, my brother. Bless you.